from an undisclosed location in the general vicinity of North America, it's time once again for the long shot. Come hell or high water. Tonight's episode, we've got the Lakers, the Dodgers, Amanda Gorman, and the Night Stalker. And now, please welcome the host of the long shot, Sean Thumroy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good noon, good night, good dusk, good desk. Good dusk, good disc, good disc. Welcome to The Long Shot. I am your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the program, as always, the effervescent Joe Wagner is here.
Still here, everybody. Nice to see you.
The beverage encumbered Amber Kenny is here.
Hello. Glove, glove.
Glug, glub. Did you say glub or glug?
Glub.
And the
relentlessly, elaborately coiffed Jamie Flam is here.
Was that when I got in here? I just got out of the shower, which is funny.
Is it still running?
I got to go catch it.
The sound.
Oh, right. Yeah. I hope to be more uncoiffed as the pod unravels.
I think that's a good description of what happens on this show. It starts here, and then it just unravels over the course. Yeah.
And I think it starts off at like frayed.
Oh, not, very frayed. Always
it's not
frayed.
Tight. It's not tightly taut.
Tightly taut. No, tied. It's not tightly taut. It's not woundly wound. Certainly, it tightly might be taut, woundly wound. So big week for the country. What a week. Let's talk about everybody's experiences this week with what was going on in the country. And I'm specifically talking about what happened in Indiana. No, the inauguration was this week. So what was that like for you, Jamie?
It was good.
Jesus Christ. Why did I do that to myself?
I don't know. I was surprised that out the gate, but
I just thought that was such a huge event that you would have something more than it was good, you know?
Yeah. Did
you have any reaction to it? Like, were you emotional at all? Were you impressed by anything? Was there something you would have liked to see more of? Were you surprised?
More J-Lo.
That was your takeaway.
Course, was very moved. I think, I think maybe all of our lives are paralleling. And I think it's exposed even more that, the juxtaposition. I think, obviously, the election day and the weeks after that were, the opening of it. But,
by the way, I'm sorry. God. I'm still not clear as far as what's going on. What is that noise?
It's literally rain.
It's pouring.
And you can't close you can't close your window.
Hold on.
It is. I think you don't hear it on Joe and I because of the microphone. But it's coming down pretty hard.
Right. Oh, because your microphone is more focused.
Is that improved?
That's better.
That's my theory.
Yeah, that's way better.
All right, great.
Okay, so tell me about your takeaway. So several weeks, et cetera, you were saying, yes, go on.
Just somehow we've been living through this thing for 4 years, and it's nuts. But just the exhale of this week was it made it somehow that much more nuts that we ever, almost, we lived through a thing, and we knew we were living through it when it was happening. But to actually see this transfer of power.
A peaceful transfer.
Right? Again, I mean,
they had so many people there to ensure that it was a peaceful transfer of power.
They shut down the entire city. Yeah.
One thing I did notice about my reaction was it's hard to let go of not letting it fuel rage. I want to assume that cycle kind of. Like the rage for the other side, how are there fucking people in this country, arguably half of it, or that are hating this, that are hating joy, that are hating beautiful poetry, that are hating the idea of goodness and peacefulness and democracy. Like, there are people that, and it made me so angry. So I felt all the things, I think, like everybody. And I'm honored to be the first out the gate.
When did that start? All the things. Like, that's like a thing, right? Like, people go, I feel all the things. It's like, come on. Thing you felt. Not all the things.
All the feels.
All the feels is what you're thinking of, yeah.
No,
all the things. I've trademarked all the things
too.
I feel things. I feel things.
All of them.
All the time.
Like, if there was a wheel with all the things on it and you could spin it and land on anything, I would say, yes, I felt that thing.
Humbled. That's the only
disgusted.
Disgusted.
Sad.
Sad.
Humbled. Humbled is interesting because that means you took it very personally that you were like, before this, you were walking tall, and now you saw the inauguration, you were like, I am not as great as I thought I was.
Or maybe the world doesn't revolve around me because there's this peaceful transfer of power going on.
Lady Gaga is not coming to my door to sing.
I mean, and what?
What well, it's shocks. Also raining. It's raining right now in LA.
The rain, I welcome it with open arms. It's so lovely. Today, I actually went and took a hike, probably not far from where you live, Sean, and to have an overcast, beautiful, it was so nice.
That changed.
I was very humbled.
Oh, man. So you were humbled by the rain and humbled by the inauguration. All right, that's, you know.
I had a Hot Pocket last night. That was very humbling.
I saw a video of a man who broke into a bank to get a Hot Pocket. They didn't explain on the news how those two things related, but he had broken into a bank and was arrested. And the reporter was across the street and was able to
talk to him. I keep my Hot Pockets in my safe deposit box. How many times do I have to tell you?
And the reporter asked him if it was worth it. And the guy just said, for a Hot Pocket? Yeah, it was worth it. So,
has anyone watched any of you watched the Night Stalker documentary?
No. I heard it's very disheartening.
It's humbling.
It's very humbling. I think
Jamie was like, I could never kill so many people as hard as I try.
No.
Nor would I be a good victim. I'd be a terrible victim.
I'd be bad on either side of that equation.
Everything that Jamie watches, he's inspired by. So I'm a little bit scared that he watched.
No, I was inspired.
I had an epiphany. I watched The Night Stalker, and I would like to stalk the night. I think I can do it.
No, but I think having watched that, I watched the last episode last night, Joe.
Oh, now you're just talking to Joe. I'm humbled.
Chop liver over here.
Joe, just the idea of a criminal doubling down on a Hot Pocket is just, after watching Richard Ramirez, who is the devil, it's really funny.
He was probably hungry.
Which one?
Richard Ramirez?
But the Hot Pocket guy.
You know, after killing random strangers, like, you work up an app.
There's one of them, Richard Ramirez, he would leave the, it's more horrific than I even remember, but like, he would like, had like a honeydew melon. Like, he would hang out after raping and killing people in their kitchens, and they'd be like, there was a half-eaten fucking honeydew.
It's the worst melon.
Whoa.
If it's really good, it can be good.
Hot melon cake.
That's true.
Hot but it's rarely good.
On the show.
It's not as bad as an Indiana mushmelon.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Oh. They're not
That's the same thing as a honeydew, I think.
Oh.
I believe that's just another name for honeydew.
I'm humbled.
That's what I'm going for. All right, so Jamie, you really had no specific thoughts about the inauguration, just a general.
Did I not express? I'm looking to you, Amber. Please.
You expressed that
more J-Lo. That was what I took.
Well,
away.
And that the changeover only highlighted how insane the last.
Oh, and Joy, I mean, don't get me wrong.
That it made you mad that other people don't like it.
I felt hope. I felt excitement. I felt like an actual inhale or exhale from this nation and from the world. I guess it would be an exhale.
Who wrote that book, Waiting to Exhale?
Whitney Houston.
Richard Ramirez.
But it went back and forth. The title was always back and like until they actually published it, they were going, should it be Waiting to Exhale or Waiting to Inhale? It just kept switching.
And then someone
is she breathing out or breathing in?
A producer would run in and go, I'm waiting on the title.
We're workshopping two right now. They're both about waiting, but one is breathing out, one's breathing in.
Both important.
You got to do both, by the way.
You have to. Yeah. You have to, guys. And
especially
you can't do one without the other.
In
breathe
this
in and time, breathe out.
Please.
So important.
Helpful crucial hints from the Low Show, Poe.
It's all about self-care. It's about self-care.
Self-care. Remember to inhale and
exhale.
And I did a breathing exercise.
Exhale without inhaling.
Where you do
get lightheaded.
Oh, the alternate nostril breathing?
I did that with Adrian tonight today.
Really that nice. Is
what? Whoa, whoa, whoa! Choice. What is that? What is that, Jamie?
You breathe in through one nostril, hold it, switch out, breathe out through this nostril, then breathe in, hold it, and you do it for a long time. And it honestly, it really does soothe the nervous system, like in a major
welcome back
way.
To... Self-care with the long shot. Today we're discussing respiratory systems.
Do it for 3 minutes and you will feel it's like taking an anti-anxiety medication.
Reset your mentality.
But don't do it maybe right now on camera. Yeah. It is tough because you realize that when you do it like that, you're like, wow, this nostril is lazy as hell. Like it's used to not pulling its weight. Like there's one that
no, one of them is more powerful than the other.
Yeah.
Some people are righties and some people are lefties. Terry McMillan wrote Waiting to Exhale. You know what she almost wrote? Waiting to Inhale.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I confuse them like left and right.
Joe, what was your perception of the inauguration? Did you watch it?
Well, this is going to, I'm sorry to piss you off, but I also felt all the things because I read all the tweets and posts and
a lot.
And it's, I understand, I think what Jamie was getting at, which is that it feels very hard right now to hold on to any single thought or feeling. It just, because you just feel like you're careening from one to another. I would say my overall impression was that as much as Jamie was saying, it felt good to see something transpire that we were all waiting for. At the end of it, though, I still kind of felt like, why did they spend all that money? Because there's so much money spent, even though it was an adjusted inauguration and celebration. I didn't read anything about whether or not, you know, they were raising money. Like, why not make it a fundraiser then if you're going to spend all this money? It just right now when things are so bad, that was the last ultimate kind of after it all happened feeling that I had, which was why.
So your take was why spend all this money on this ceremony
the pomp and circumstance.
Spend it on people's well-being.
Helping when people need money right now more than ever, the pomp and circumstance of it all just didn't sit right with me. And I actually remembered I think it was my junior year in high school, a group of students, we got to go to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of President George, who was the father?
Herbert Walker, George H.W.
George H.W. saw the inauguration of George H.W. I don't think I was a
January 12th, 1989.
I think so, yes. And
I don't know. Wow.
We give him too much power when we...
I believe he did the oath over a Indiana... Oh,
doesn't it always have to be the 20th of January? Isn't that when they always do the inauguration?
I think that constitutionally it has to be the 20th. I was there. I was nothing like a politically minded 17-year-old. But I remember I wasn't a fan of Bush or Republican. That much I knew by that point. And I remember being there and still being swept up in the tradition of it, the ceremony of it.
Well, yeah, that's the
right
point.
Right, right, right. And I just thought about it today. It's same thing where I was like, I looked at a couple shots and I started to feel that. But by the end of the ride of that day of seeing it finally happen, I just felt like, is there a way that money could have been used to help people right now rather than putting on a show? And I totally understand that some people in this country, that made them feel better to see that, but I was just not one of those people. So
I also don't know if it's just about feeling better. I feel like part of it is it's a thing people need to see, especially after this election.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Like, what if they go, you know what? It's too expensive. Let's just use the money for more vaccines and unemployment insurance and whatever. And we'll just have a quiet ceremony in the Oval Office and we'll make Biden president. You know, that to me would be a mistake because there's already so many people who believe he's not really the president.
No, you know? I mean, I see what you mean. I do. I totally understand that side of it, of having to put on something that seems significant enough that
it needs to be a big deal.
It reasserts. We were joking about it, but it reasserts that there was a transition of power and then there was a legitimately elected president. And it, you know, for that side, it was the other guy. And so
watching it should be humbled, whoever you are.
You should be.
What's the most expensive part? Because I had that when they were like, they could have cut the fireworks in half.
Oh, yeah. Well, heard, and Sean will probably correct me because he probably knows better than I do, but that there is a fund just for the inauguration,
right,
and those funds can't be used.
For anything else?
For anything else. So it's like you kind of have.
I get
wrong. Incorrect.
I get. I mean, even if there were technical reasons and considerations, legal ones, whatever. I mean, constitutional. It's. I just felt that. I mean, I think Sean, they could have found some other way of presenting it to get that feeling across, to get that message across of like democracy continues, it's sustained, we move.
I totally get what you're saying, and I don't disagree that money should be spent more wisely, but I also feel like any change would be indicative of the fact that this is not legitimate.
That's why, for example,
evidence that this isn't a real presidency.
That's why, for example, if the fist, because there were giant festivities at the end of the night, the fireworks and the performers and all that stuff. If it had just been the swearing in, you know, the visual of what is the tradition of this country, of the president, the Supreme Court justice, there are some people there taking the oath. I think that sustains that. And if it had been that, and then they spent, you know, they did a virtual thing and then they raised money with the rest of it. I feel like that I would have understood.
You would have liked it better if it was a telethon, if there was like, you know,
well,
operators are standing by, please support, you know,
at this point, why isn't everything that's on TV a fundraiser? I mean, a telethon. I mean, it's like people need money more now than ever.
I feel like I would change the channel most of the time.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing. At the beginning of the pandemic, every show that was coming back on in some way, like a lot of late night show hosts where they were doing it remotely, they were all fundraising. It was like immediate fundraising. But that was 10 months ago. And I just feel like we're hitting certain points during this whole experience where it's like, hey, you know, we should try to do that again. You know, I mean, that should
happen. Yeah, I mean, I also feel like if things are so dire, if there's such dire financial need, who are they fundraising from? You know, who's going to give this money?
That's the tough. I mean, that's the tough thing, because as I was watching those first couple weeks of quarantine, obviously the totals that they were making for that show were all decreasing, because people don't. It's like Jimmy Kimmel was doing it, Seth Meyers, all the late night talk shows were doing it. Some other shows that were coming on were doing it, or there were specials or Zoom read throughs of shows to raise money. And people are still doing that. A lot of Zoom stand up comedy shows are like fundraisers and charity stuff, and which is great. And that's the thing.
Who is the Zoom stand up show raising money for?
Oh, different
charities. Not raising it for
different charities. Different charities, mm-hmm. like Downtown Women's Organization in LA, or some COVID relief related charity. You know, I mean, it's the thing that gets me is that I feel like I'm seeing that more from individuals or my friends or regular American citizens, and I just feel like the media industry, Hollywood, and the government, I feel like should be doing any chance or opportunity they have to be raising money. Why wouldn't you be doing that right now? It's just, I don't know. Anyway.
Right. So Jamie was humbled. Joe was frustrated that it wasn't a telethon. Amber, what was your perception of the inauguration?
I'm so glad that you asked. I'm humbled at the question.
Wrong.
So I was given a bottle of champagne for Christmas, not to brag, and I've been saving it. And then I kept almost opening it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep it for Inauguration Day, like when there's something to celebrate. And on Wednesday, when the inauguration happened, I watched it happen, and I felt nothing, absolutely nothing. And I was kind of worried, because I was expecting, you know, like this exhale that everyone's talking about and to be overjoyed, but I felt none of the things.
No, you listen to the Lo Show Po.
No feels.
It's all or nothing with this crew.
No, I mean, I'm getting somewhere. That wasn't all it. But I think
nothing is something.
I was like, huh, that's weird. Like I kind of expected more of an emotional reaction from myself. I'm an emotional person. And so I was a little bit concerned about that. But I figured, hey, you know, 4 years ago, I was filled with crippling sadness. So feeling nothing is
one of the feels.
It's still an improvement, though. Like, okay.
The absence of sadness is a good thing. Yeah. Right.
And I thought Amanda Gorman was incredible. I thought she stole the day.
I did have a flicker of a positive feeling, which was, it was just so nice to hear everyone talk about how she was from LA. Mm-hmm. And to actually feel a little.
We got the Dodgers, the Lakers, Amanda Gorman.
Yeah, Poet Laureate. Yeah. In fact, I was not humbled. I was like, yeah, she's from LA.
I wasn't.
The Night Stalker was from LA.
Take that, everyone else.
Okay, fine. The Dodgers, the Lakers, Amanda Gorman, the Night Stalker. Suck it, America. We got it all.
Ups and downs, baby. I wasn't unhappy. I was happy. I just expected to feel things more bigger feelings. And but I was like, okay, whatever. And it was nice. And I went back to work. And then on my lunch break, I turned CNN back on, and it was,
you know, you could just not watch that, right?
Oh, I know. and it was the presidential parade, which in a pandemic was hilarious, because it was just watching cars drive down a street slowly. Like, they're like, what are we doing? But
I was concerned for him, by the way. He's very old. And right. It was like such a, at one point, my mom, when I talked to her that night, was like, he's still out there and they should let him rest.
Go to bed.
He's 78 years old.
I know. And then he got out of the car and he was walking the last, I don't know, 100 yards. I have no idea. 100 yards to the White House, whatever it is.
And let's just say it was not a dash.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, when the president does the last 100-yard dash and he slams the door behind him.
Well, normally there's the baton handoff, but Trump wouldn't do it. So, there were people on the sidelines, but I'm guessing they were extremely vetted, like dignitaries or right. specific people. And
Al Roker.
I can't believe we got this far, Bob. We're right here. We're right here, Bob.
He went up to a couple people and like fist bumped them and was like happy to see them and was expressing human warmth. And I was like, oh, there are the feelings. Like,
the president is connecting with people
for real. And then,
that's how numb we are. That's how numb we are by this point.
It's
ridiculous.
And then he, walked into the White House, which I'm sure you guys do this too, just like as empathetic.
You went to the bathroom or no, is that what you were going to say?
No, but whenever I see anything that's that monumental, you sort of imagine what it's like to do that. And like imagining walking into the White House for the first time as the president, like that's so big and that's so much. So I was like, okay.
Two things at the same time.
Like the feelings are coming, the feelings are happening. And then
did anyone see the speech where he, I'm sorry, just to, because you mentioned the emotion. And
no, I have something too. Go on, Jeff.
His emotion. No, I was just going to ask if anyone had seen the speech that he gave just before he flew to Washington, D.C., because I heard that he got emotional in that speech. And just hearing that about a president being able to show emotion, like you said, like, I was just like, oh, that sounds normal.
No,
again.
It's like,
how about you show a little emotion on a telethon, Joe?
So the CNN commentator, as he was walking into the White House, said, this is the first time Joe Biden has been in the White House in 4 years because Trump never invited him. Usually there's the ceremonial sort of like handoff lunch or, and so that I was also like, anyway, I started crying at lunch. So I was like, okay, it just takes me a while sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
took a while for it to sink in.
Right. But it's also depressing that the bar is so low, like mm-hmm. that he just acts quasi-human. Like his wife clearly likes him and he likes his wife. And I'm like, oh my God, he likes his wife. Like shouldn't be something that is exciting. That should be normal. But
well, I don't know if you guys saw this. I just read this today that apparently, and see, I was not watching it, so I didn't see that moment. But apparently they were hung outside the White House for way longer than usual mm-hmm. because that morning Trump had fired the head butler and told the rest of the staff to go home. So there was no one there to open the door for Biden when he got to the White House. So they were stuck because they always want the doors to be closed for the photo op. It looks way better if the doors are closed.
But they don't have like a key.
Open. But so they're standing outside and it was only about a minute, but apparently that was like 45 seconds longer than usual.
And you know there's someone on a headset like,
yeah, like, Bob, get to the door, get to the door. Somebody get to the door, quick. You know?
All the pomp and circumstance would have been ruined if there had been a shot of Joe Biden trying to open the door to the White House.
Well, that was a famous George Bush thing. Remember that when he was on stage in Japan and he couldn't get off stage because he couldn't get the door open?
And it doesn't matter who you are, you suddenly become the biggest idiot.
It's also such a great, emblematic, tiny, petty, crappy thing for Trump to do.
He just stays on brand.
Okay, everybody, we're out of here. You guys can go home. Take the weekend off. Nobody come back. I swear to God, if you come back before Monday, you're fired, okay?
You're fired.
Get it?
It almost makes me wonder if the person, the people in charge of that process of the day, I would imagine something they could have done was literally just make a list of the 10 pettiest things that Donald Trump could do and prepare for that. Because there's no bottom with this guy, and whatever the worst thing you can expect, he'll do it even worse. And
did write a letter to Joe.
Come out at some point, and I will just be fascinated by whatever that says.
I think Joe Biden described it as generous? Generous? Yeah.
He said generous.
He probably left him a $50 bill.
Or it was just like, I don't wish you were dead. Like, that's
I don't not wish you were not dead.
Here's a coupon for some of my steaks.
I hope you enjoy the Trump board game.
And I don't think anyone on this call is shocked by this, but the fact that it came out that the pandemic plan was even thinner and shoddier than we had anticipated. Like, President Joe Biden was like, so what's the plan? Like, what was in place? And they were like, nothing.
Hey, you know what? Clean slate. Let's just start from the beginning again.
It's like that
moment. Probably for the best.
Isn't there a thing in Usual Suspects where, like, that the plan was gone?
And poof.
Poof.
Joe, is it weird for you that the president has your name?
Oh, that is weird.
Oh, you know what? I think, like a lot of the country, I've thought more about his middle name, Robinette. Is it Robinette?
Most of the country.
Than Joseph. But yes, I guess you're right. You know what?
That is fucking weird that somebody else would have the name Joe.
Not sure if I'm humbled by that yet, but we'll see.
Maybe it'll kick in later like me.
Let's give it 4 years.
Why don't you suggest a Joe-a-thon where everybody named Joe gets to go on camera and
gets money.
Plug for money. To the thing you were saying though about normal, like I had the same reaction when I listened that night to the press conference. Jen Psaki came out, the new press secretary, and was like, I was like, where's the antagonism? Where's the nastiness? Where's the sarcasm? Where's the combativeness? Because she was just answering questions, you know? And if she did, in fact, yesterday I saw one where I was like, it fucking blew my mind because somebody asked a question and she didn't know the answer. And she was like, I haven't spoken to the president about that. She, you know, it's that thing of like, I can circle back to you. I can find out whatever. But then not only did she do that, she goes, do you want to ask, since I didn't know that one, do you want to ask another one? Like, she went to the same guy again.
But it's also, she even admitted she didn't know something. Like, I feel like they would have been like,
wasn't a nasty
there's a great
question.
Plan. We know everything. Blah, blah,
did
blah.
You see that moment with Fosse too? He's like, I'm just going to, it's okay to say for the first time that I don't know the answer to that.
Fosse?
Yeah.
Fosse.
What did I say? What is it?
Fauci.
Yeah, Fauci.
If someone could create a meme of Dr. Fauci as Bob Fosse, please let us know.
Please call this number.
And donate.
But, you know, I watched her. I mean, you're talking about they make a list of the 10 things that the 10 pettiest things Trump could do.
Right.
They clearly have made a list of all the things that they should do when they are in public, because at the end of her press conference, she very specifically said, thank you all for being here. let's do this again on Monday. And then she stood at the podium as she put her mask on and picked up her papers and walked out, clearly like doing it as, this is what I'm doing. I'm putting my mask on because we should all be wearing masks all the time. Like, and I just was, you know, I was so humbled by that.
I think what many people have been experiencing right now is just that it's very hard to feel any kind of elation when it's been 10 months. I mean, I think everyone's exhausted. And so it's like you can have that moment, but then you realize, oh, it's like it's barely a ripple of what I should be feeling because I'm just too tired of it all. I mean, and that's just, it's, I mean, it felt like he was, you know, like people have remarked, it felt like he was elected seven different times, you know. I mean, it was like, so by the time you're seeing him swear, you know, putting the hand on the Bible, it was like, okay, yeah, well, that's
boring.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I completely disagree because I feel like this was such a fucking stumble, this whole period, this 4-year period. And for things to be slightly getting back to normal, I mean, more than slightly, but we'll see, to have people in charge who give a shit, who know what they're doing, who have some expertise, who are focused on the things that need to be focused on,
who like each other.
It just feels like such a tremendous, tremendous shift.
And I think everyone is feeling that individually to their own degree. But again, it's like having 17 different thoughts in your head. I keep coming back to like what Amber has been saying of like the bar is set so low. And if the bar is set low, I think that's okay to acknowledge that. But it's also important to remember that we can't keep the bar that low. It has to, yeah, it has to start rising and we have to get it to a new high, you know.
But I feel like the opposite is true too, where you can look at it and go, who gives a shit that he did all this? The bar was so low. He's doing nothing. Of course he's a normal person. Of course he's a nice guy. Who cares? There's no bar. I mean, because there is no bar, you know. But I think it's more than that. Like there are competent people that are actively involved now, or at least as actively, you know, because there's the whole other issue of like, now there's the shit going on with the Senate and confirming people and all that stuff. And the rat fucking shit that goes on in DC, that's just as bad as it ever was. But anyway, I just feel like it's been a huge, huge difference, and it makes a difference, and it will make a difference in people's lives.
It absolutely will. It absolutely will. And it was good to read the first 2 days of all the executive orders he was signing and all the news reports that were coming out of this department is now being refilled, you know, with new appointees. And it is dangerous. And I've seen this, I just take it all in from different people's reactions. It's dangerous to start thinking that it's dangerous to try to make what's happening right now so negative. So, again, the cynicism that can come in, I think what you're referring to, Sean, of anyone who just looks at this and goes, who cares? It's not a big deal. I think there are a lot of people right now who are taking this stuff and trying to make themselves feel worse, because that's a self-destructive thing. And I think for your mental health, you have to find that balance between letting yourself acknowledge the goodness of something, but without, I think, letting it go as far as not to keep pushing for better, you know? And I think that's where everyone...
You're saying you need to inhale and you need to exhale.
You need to do both.
I think... I'm not sure if this is what you were getting at, but... I know a fear that I have, that I've heard a lot of other people have, is the one thing about Trump is that he was this like polarizing figure, and he got a lot of people who weren't engaged engaged in politics and fighting the good fight. And I think, Joe, what you're saying is like there's a fear that everyone will just be like, ah, everything's fine now. Like, I don't have to pay attention or like. Or,
it's the brunch joke. It's right, the brunch joke right now. Hey, we're all going back to brunch. Right.
But like both things can be true. Like
absolutely,
Biden can be better for the country and we can stay engaged. And it's just like we have to figure out how to do that.
Absolutely. And it's unhealthy. It's what I'm saying very specifically is it's unhealthy to make yourself think, oh, nothing ever changes. It's going to be business as usual. Now it's just as corrupt, but they have a nicer tone and they have moments of human empathy, but they're still going to be pulling on the shit. It's unhealthy to make yourself think that because that's, again, you're just trying to make yourself feel worse. but you have to, you know, so you try to find, like, again, I took some comfort in the fact that some people are like it's more ceremonial than anything, but those executive orders, it just felt good to see someone holding an executive order that wasn't that clown. You know?
You knew it wasn't just like an empty binder.
right.
Yeah, inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale.
Inhale and exhale.
All right. Well, let's start the show. I guess I'm looking around. Duncan Robinson has not shown up yet, so I guess he. You know, he's still scared of us.
Can we give a shout out to Aaron for creating a very funny opening to last week's episode?
Yes. So I guess Duncan Robinson is not, you know,
we haven't heard
for it. Yeah.
Right. I have not heard it. I'm so excited I never listen.
All right. Well, let's start with checking in and let's start today with Amber.
Sure. I'm going to be
honest. Did you drink that champagne, by the way?
I did. I drank it last night. I didn't drink it on Wednesday because I was like, it feels like forced. It's early in the morning and then I'm drunk at work. And then at night I was like, then I'll have a headache on Thursday. Anyway, I drank it last night and it was great. It was really good. It wasn't champagne. It was sparkling rosé. But it was really good. Beautiful color. Just like this.
Rosé.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm. And that's my checking in.
Never mind. No, it's not worth it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Just to be like fully transparent, I don't know if it's the weather or if it's just like I am not the first person to acknowledge this, but we've had three Wednesdays in the year 2021. The first one was a coup. The second one was an impeachment. And the third one was an inauguration. Like, it's been kind of a lot.
I think it's been acknowledged a couple times.
we've done entire hours before checking in. Before each of these. But it's crazy that how close in proximity those all are. Like, mm-hmm. This year has felt long already, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it hit me today. It's rainy out. So I don't know if it's that, but I just couldn't. I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm going to clean the house. I'm going to do this. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. It was tough to get my ass to come to this. I'm actually proud of myself.
Hell or high water.
Right. We have to talk about that. There's a day that I need to take off.
as long as you wear high waters while you do it, that's fine.
By the way, can we not be in a show if the reason is not hell or high water?
Right. It's none of the above.
If it's anything but those two things, then we're okay.
Right. Well, I think those things are a metaphor, but all right, go ahead.
and arguably, we're all in hell.
um,
The water's not hot. The water's not high yet in LA, but it is raining.
It's true. It's nice. But I was just like, this is not a great checking in, but I'm just so tired. I had to I'm wearing PJs. I showered today and put different PJs back on. And I put on like a newscaster amount of makeup to try to encourage myself to do this Zoom.
All right, we go now to Amber for checking in. Thanks, Sean. I'm in my apartment wearing my pajamas.
It looks like is so
Wednesdays
funny
have been difficult this year.
Because yeah, on Zoom, you cannot tell how much makeup I'm wearing on Zoom. Like, it looks kind of reasonable. It is not an unreasonable amount of makeup. I'm telling you. And it is so funny to be wearing pajamas and this much makeup.
It's that's just quite
like,
a combo.
I don't look well.
You should go to the deli on the corner or something, you know?
Amber, I think you look like the prettiest mental patient I've ever seen.
Thank you, Joe. Even prettier than Angelina Jolie. She's pretty pretty.
Thank you, Joe. Do you know the president? He has your name. You both have the same name.
Were you thinking, by the way, Girl Interrupted, Amber? Is
yes,
that the
I was. Yeah. Right. I guess I could have gone Renona one. Uh-oh.
Winona.
You could have gone Rangelina Rolie.
Or Brittany Murphy. Let's be honest. Beautiful.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a gas tank behind you.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm in Jeff's office. This is the room I spend the least amount of time in, but I wanted, when we would podcast before, full disclosure, living in a one bedroom apartment that was very, very small, when we would podcast for 2.5 hours during a pandemic where he can't go anywhere else, I felt bad. I was like holding him hostage in the bedroom.
Plus you would hear him scraping against
you. You were holding him hostage in the bedroom and not in a good way.
So now I love the fact that we moved and that I'm here at the back of the apartment and he's doing God knows what and it's God great. And this is the only time I'm ever in this room is when we're podcasting, but it isn't the most aesthetically pleasing room. It's kind of like where we threw all the stuff we don't know where it goes yet.
Well, it's a good thing that podcasting is an audio medium, so we don't have to look at anything.
Now it is on YouTube. That's the that's newscaster.
This is a video medium as well.
Now would be a good time to mention, Sean, just before you got here, I freak out now when I go to my YouTube homepage because as I start scrolling, the thumbnail for our newest episode will come up on Wednesday mornings, and I just always stop and go, hey, look, there's us. There's me. There's us. Are we like YouTubers now?
I think the most shame in my life when, you know, as a married couple, we in the new millennium. What am I talking about?
Is this about you being hostage in the bedroom?
By the way, you started with shame, and it was like, yeah, I just, you know, we got married.
We're
like,
getting there. We're getting to the shame. Don't worry, we're not there yet. But like we both will sometimes have TV on that we're not that engaged in. So like slice into our sexy married life is we will both be on our phones while watching TV. And
you got to keep yourselves preoccupied. Otherwise, you might have to have a conversation.
No, we talk all of the time. Like it sounds darker than it is. But occasionally when our YouTube clips come on, I'll like click on it and the sound is on, and so then I'm just like, oh god, he just caught me listening to my own podcast. That's where the shame comes from.
Yeah I said that too. Yeah, that was good that I said that. Yeah.
But because he doesn't ever listen to the podcast, but
what
it's fine.
Him but a lot of people.
I forget.
There are millions of people.
Yeah.
Billions.
all right. I forget what story I was playing. I was playing a clip for some reason while I was sitting in the living room, and I didn't realize he was listening, and I caught him laughing. I was like, you like my podcast?
Jeff, rate and review. Rate and review, Jeff.
Subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Jeff, smash my like button.
By the way, folks, if you're listening at home, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Because then we eventually can advertise and get
we're going to monetize, I think, right? And like,
in one of these
we're just
going
to do fundraisers for charity.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Telethons.
Yeah.
But I guess that is. Oh, I also started baking.
A lot of people did that early in the whole thing.
What?
A lot of people did that early in the, like, that seems like a thing that happened like a month in, and then everybody kind of trailed off. You took the opposite approach. No,
and I'm not doing any good baking. I'm not baking bread.
Bad bake.
Hey, look, I made a piece of shit again.
Hey, no. this baked good seems like it's from the other side of the streets.
Anybody want some burnt crap?
It's a cupcake with a little leather jacket on it.
I don't know what the fuck that's this is so supposed to be, but I baked it.
It fucking sucks.
Look at all the smoke coming off.
Well, you joke, but in my old apartment, my friend Alyssa always makes fun of me because she makes fun of me because anytime I talk about the old apartment, it's just like, yeah, like, the lighting's better here. Like, everything about that place is the worst.
Right.
But it really kind of is. It's kind of amazing that we lived there that long. But the oven was very, very small and bad. Like, so anytime we baked anything, it would somehow simultaneously be, like, burnt, like charcoal burnt and uncooked.
Raw flesh of meat.
So, now we have a different oven. So it's like, okay. So I'm doing what I call like baby's first baking, where I'm using like boxed.
Is that your own title?
Brownies and boxed. Like I'm starting small to see if it's even something I'm
not eating. From scratch.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. Eventually I might get there, but it feels like I don't have a mixer even. Like there's, I'm dipping a toe in, but it is nice to have like the smell of baked goods and
what's
you can get candles that do that, by the way.
Sure.
Don't get Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina one because it can explode. That was a candle story in the news. I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't see it.
I saw it.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a PSA. Don't get that one.
Thank you.
Amber,
I saw it too.
What have you? All right, I'm humbled. Amber, what have you baked? What's something you have
baked? I baked two different kinds of Ghirardelli brownies, and I baked some chocolate chip cookies. But also, because we had such a teeny tiny oven, I realized I need better tools. Like, we would specifically try to find the smallest, like, baking sheets we could find so that it would fit in the old oven. So to even make a batch of cookies, I had to use like multiple sheets and then like a pie pan because I didn't have enough. Like, the sheets weren't big enough to fit.
This looks like a chocolate chip pie. No, it's a cookie. It's a pie.
Oh, remember
I baked it as a pie, but it's a cookie.
Did you ever have a friend in the 80s or 90s who had the birthday cookie?
No.
Notice Jamie did not say anything. I get it.
It was a slow roll. Friendship for me.
Did you ever go to a birthday party where they had one of those chocolate chip cookie cakes? Remember, you could get it from those like cookie those places?
The like big cookies?
Yeah.
With like frosting that said happy birthday?
Yeah, frosting on it, which I always thought was weird and gross. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross, not to gross have frosting at all. On a birthday cake.
It's fucking good.
It's good. But yeah, so that's me. I'm tired and I bake.
Dig it.
What do you want from me?
A baked good. Something, you know, delicious.
Let's check in with Jamie. Let's find out what's going on with Jamie, the Dynasty Tip Writer.
Well, I'll take a nod from Amber. I actually got two new casserole things.
Dishes.
And I got it for the first time. I'm not baking. No, I am baking, but not sweets.
Savory.
By the way, Jamie's talking about his casserole dishes, and in my head, I just cut to Duncan Robinson in his man cave listening to this on, like, watching it on YouTube. And Jeff is there, and he's like, Jeff, what's up? These motherfuckers are bad news, man. Talking about casserole dishes? We got a lot of shit to live up to.
Jamie.
Jeff's like, I got to go. I'm sorry.
Jamie, hold that nod for a second. Sean, did you see speaking of our YouTube clips now, someone commented on the video that there was an NBA player who tried to start a podcast who saw that this podcast existed already. There was a podcast with the long shot. Oh, a politician. I'm sorry. It wasn't an NBA player. I don't know why I thought it was an NBA player, but it was a politician.
Was it Bill Bradley? Because he was both. He ran for president.
Oh, that's right. No, apparently there was someone who was trying to start a podcast called The Long Shot, and they found out about our show. And in his first show, he talks about how there's this other podcast with the same title.
I feel like I have a vague recollection of that. I don't really remember.
So it's like we were the Duncan Robinson. Right? We were the Duncan Robinson to whoever that a politician. Who the probably a Q guy.
I don't know. I think we started ours before he did.
We did.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. But you know, for him, it was.
So
like,
he was our first Duncan Robinson. Now Duncan Robinson is our second, or as I like to call him, non-Duncan Robinson.
Know what we should do? Sue Duncan Robinson, and we will take the first buyout option, and we will go very low. But
oh, yeah.
All right, Jamie, get back to your casserole dishes, because when you get into scheming, I'm not. You know,
I was just saying that this podcast has become sort of a hall of mirrors where we just talk about what we've talked about in other episodes.
Oh man, remember that time Chucky died?
I am not litigious. I don't like the idea of getting into lawsuits frivolously, but I do think that there's a way that we could frame a lawsuit with Duncan Robinson and get $100,000.
Jamie, talk about your casserole dishes.
Okay.
You made a casserole?
No, I baked veggies. Yeah.
What are you looking at? What's going on right now?
I feel like processing.
Is someone telling you what to say?
Yeah. There's somebody right off camera.
Veggies.
Sweet potatoes.
And he has a whole mushrooms. TV crew. There's like a script supervisor woman.
Okay. There was onions. There was Brussels sprouts.
Get to the beets.
But I also got my first thermometer. You stick into food.
I know what a thermometer is, you motherfucker.
I figured you knew.
You got one that you can just jab it into the food.
Yes. And I made the best chicken I've ever had.
Because it was the right temperature?
I looked at the temperature and added up to the thing. It was right. And it was good. So that was
this chicken notoriously gets dry when you overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
It kills
you if you undercook it.
What's it's a fucking lose-lose chicken.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 164, or it has to be at least 164 or something like that. But also, when I typically make it, I'm like,
oh, no way, man.
These are some bad.
How is he reacting to getting sued by us?
There goes my pot roast chunk.
he's reacting to getting sued by us because he's in the NBA and he's going, $100,000. I blow my nose with that shit.
That's what I'm saying. If we're like just $100,000, we won't even bring the lawyers into this. Like maybe that's
all right. So you got a thermometer. You cooked some food. What else?
Yesterday was I've been kind of beating around the bush, but I'm going through a breakup with a girlfriend that I've been off and on with for 3 years, and I love her very much, and I wish her the best in this world. It's a long time. And
Maybe try not beating around her bush and things will work out.
Hello.
But we kind of broke up 3 weeks ago, but there's been kind of that dangling kind of psychic tie because things haven't been said and there might be still expectations. I think most breakups, to be successful, you have to very much define your boundaries. We can't talk for this long. Unfollow on social media, because until those things happen, for me, it's been...
You're just reopening wounds constantly.
And because I avoid confrontation and avoid all the things, I think this could have been happened much sooner and the healing could have began sooner. But yesterday, she left and I wasn't here, but just like some of the stuff that she had here on my doorstep. And we unfollowed each other. And it was all very civil and nice and all this stuff. But as of like yesterday afternoon when I got home, it's like I can inhale or exhale.
Jamie, yeah. What do you think has been a more peaceful transition of power? Breakup or Biden becoming president?
Why are you making such a big deal about your breakup? Why are you not doing a fundraiser instead?
That's true. I should. And if Duncan, if you're listening and want to send us money, we'll take it.
By the way, that would be a great GoFundMe page. I just got broken up with and I could really use some cash right on that.
Just want to it.
Feel better.
I feel like that's not unheard of for people to do that. I don't know. And I didn't want to talk about it. And I guess I'll just leave it all that because it's like...
it's private. Some of it is private.
Yeah, it's private and it's... I feel like that has been this ongoing thing really for 3+ years off and on. And that kind of coinciding with the new presidency, with the new year, like I feel like I can finally focus or just exhale is the best word. It's just like... Fuck.
So when you say you came home to your apartment, you're not saying you sat there and you like put on You Light Up My Life and started crying. You were like, I feel okay.
Celebrate.
Not celebrating, but like new beginnings.
Just new beginnings. Yeah. I mean, I was very humbled and
I think that's good. I think because I think sometimes relationships, you know, like you said, when you don't have a clear break or when you're still holding on to something, I mean, when you're still holding on to it, it can be really painful, even though you know it's the right thing to break up. But then there's other times, and I've certainly had these, where it's like, no, this is done. We're done. Like, this is good. It's healthy for both of us to be in a different place now.
Moving on, right. You
know? Yeah, it's tough when it's not, because there's still so much love and it's just all the thing. I mean...
All the things.
I do say that a lot. So I'm just getting used to a new... And also the social media thing, I can't understate. Like, I have been... And I feel silly saying it because social media is whatever it is, but I have not posted much or shared myself or put myself out there in that regard because I'm constantly, like, feeling like something is going to, you know, be a... you know, incite something.
Oh, like you're communicating something.
I mean, I'm already self-conscious enough, yeah. But like that aspect of it. So I think.
I got to say, social media, I have missed your presence, you know? I'm
Do you follow Jamie on Twitter?
I have never established it. I mean, it has nothing to do with my past or it probably will not affect much of my future. But I've already, like, I feel like.
You don't have to be so like, second guessy about
posting. I mean, if you saw it, I mean, it's crazy, like, and it's like neurotic. Or, like, I will post, like, or like write out a whole post, and then delete it. And it's not just with related to the
because you're afraid that this person is going to see it,
or I know they will, or just in general. I already have the layers with this person's doing that. I mean, I've talked about it a little bit, like, even just like we did a podcast. For Dynasty last year. We did 10 episodes. I never promoted it once. because...
Well, it was weird that you called it the Duncan Robinson podcast.
It wasn't taken at that point. Anyway, I feel weird talking about it. I shouldn't have brought this up, and that, but no, whatever.
You're
of course you should have brought this up. You should have brought this up. What kind of posts would you write out and then delete?
Great question, Sean.
Thank you, Ember.
I think I felt like one of my biggest blocks is like posting something positive or like Dynasty Typer did this or we're doing this. Like, I don't want to ever appear cocky and it's like I realize everyone is constantly posting everything about themselves constantly. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just too precious with everything. It's just, it doesn't matter. Like, I posted, and I don't even want to talk about this, but like, I took a picture of a Dennis the Menace cartoon last week.
Mm, yeah, that offended Jesus. Me.
Yeah, I know where this is going. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I said or what. It doesn't matter.
Was he having a hard time with Mr. Wilson?
Opposite. I don't know what exactly it was, but it was just a dumb thing. I sat on it for a while, and then I posted it, and I'm like, I'm being pressured. It doesn't matter. This has no impact. Maybe someone will think it's silly. But like the amount of time and energy it took to post a fucking picture of a newspaper comic with Dennis the Menace was nuts. And so...
And this was related to your relationship? Like your significant other was going to be like...
This was not.
You think I'm a menace? Why do you think I'm a menace?
It's not related totally.
Oh, I'm not a menace? I'm Mr. Wilson now? I'm just a neighbor?
So...
But she was a menace, Jamie, right? I mean, she was like...
No. This is going on YouTube. Like, I should have brought it up. It doesn't matter. We talked about
relationships. Keep calling me a menace. I'm never going to touch your penis.
Jamie, you're doing great. You're being so diplomatic, but you're also being honest about your feelings. You've said nothing that upset.
Sean, you defined many years ago. Thank you, Amber. The lawyer in my head. I mean, the amount of evolution I've been trying to get to for my life, but the last 10 years since we started this podcast, is like trying to calm down or shut up the lawyer. And you named it early on in the podcast. There's a lawyer that is constantly, including right now, it's exposed right now, just holding on to every word that wants to.
It's like, objection.
That could offend, oh shit, Dennis the Menace. You shouldn't have talked about Dennis the Menace, Jamie.
Now, I would posit, Your Honor, that Dennis the Menace cartoons are regressive to a different period in this culture when the roles for men and women were specifically defined in a stereotypical way.
I recommend in this court of public opinion that Mr. Flam be canceled immediately. In my view, you are the last person who would get canceled. I don't think that's inside you, buddy.
Sounds like a challenge.
I say go for it. See if it can happen.
Jamie, save for
you. Do anything, Jamie. I'm not with you.
Jamie, save for. I think there is one example, but I think you weathered it. You weathered it well.
Oh right.
The head. I think the headdress. You know,
Here's the thing with the headdress. The headdress. My initial reaction was defensive.
I remember.
Like, that's out there. That could absolutely. Come back to bite me in some sense.
But you know,
I would be careful with the Dennis the Menace. Like, if you think about posting a Lockhorns cartoon or Andy Cap, like, just stay away from.
Oh, Andy Cap is real.
Dagwood. You know, any
oh,
of those,
Dagwood. Come on,
you know, Dagwood. I mean, he makes crazy sandwiches and he doesn't get along with Blondie. Oh. But you know,
have you guys seen the portrayal of a secretary in Beetle Bailey? Oh, it is insulting.
Little Orphan Annie, you know, her eyes are very big. Be careful.
You don't see a lot of Little Orphan Annie cartoons in the newspaper these days.
Is it Little Orphan Annie or Little Orphan Fanny?
Well, I know which one I would prefer. What else, Jamie?
You know, I think that's a big enough.
Hagar the Horrible. Aaron chiming in with Hagar the Horrible.
Hagar the Horrible is a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
He's a barbarian.
No, I'll save it for parting shots. I think I'm a good.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to take a break. So let's do that, and we'll be back in a couple minutes with more stuff, or not even a couple minutes. For us, it'll be a couple minutes. For you guys listening, a few seconds at the most. Hey, everybody, this is Sean. You're listening to The Long Shot, obviously, and we would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to the YouTube channel we're publishing these on. I don't know if you knew that, but you can actually watch us on video. So what a bonus. What a bonus. The YouTube channel is Sean Conroy Gets Happier, so find that on YouTube. Subscribe and rate and review. Leave comments. Write notes to the manager. Find customer service. Everything you possibly can. And now, back to a regularly scheduled program. All right, we're back. You are listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. Today's episode brought to you by Dondi, the little orphan boy. All right, well, let's keep going. Checking in. Joe, what's going on with you?
Whew, well,
Where to begin?
Well, it feels good to come after Jamie and Amber because...
you have no baking stories?
Well, I have not baked at all. I did order from IHOP for the first time last night. So that was a big deal in my life. Yes, Amber, the floor.
What'd you get?
I knew before she even, like, just when her lip curled, I knew exactly what she was going to ask.
Did you get pancakes?
Here's why I did it. Well,
from a variety of locations.
By the way, the rain's really coming down now, and I can hear it hitting my windows, and just that I'm taking the simplest pleasure in.
Sweet
the
Pete.
Rain. So, Amber, I did order pancakes, but they were the cannoli pancakes, where they put cannoli cream on the pancake and then roll it up like a cannoli.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
This is the guy that doesn't like chocolate chip cookies with frosting.
Because it's too gross.
Can I get the cannoli pancakes Napoleon with ice cream and whipped cream?
Remember the cannoli pancakes in Godfather 3? Don't eat the cannoli pancake.
Leave the cannoli. Take the cannoli pancake.
So it's like...
It's like a cannoli, but instead of a hard shell, the hard,
which is arguably cannoli, the good part,
the best part. But well, here's the thing: I do love pancakes. So I was willing to make that trade, and
it feels
I thought
like
it was
a
delicious.
Tough texture adventure,
because
like a
of
mushy
the,
pancake. We're not right. mushy, but like a soft into a soft.
There's no. You're saying
soggy.
Because there's no crunch. Because
there's
no crunch
there's
now.
No, diversity and texture. Yeah.
I know
contrast.
Yeah, I admittedly yes, and yet I thought it was delicious. It really hit right with me. I got an
you
order.
You still put syrup on it, or is?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I did
hot
not.
Sauce?
I did not. No. Just ketchup.
Sriracha?
Just a lot of ketchup.
What did you say?
Sriracha.
Sriracha.
Sriracha. I specifically ordered the cannoli pancakes because they were on the IHOPPY hour menu, which is I've been waiting all week to say IHOPPY hour.
That's what happens in a pandemic, man. You got nothing. You got nothing to look forward to.
No, the most ridiculous. It's just I
death, destruction, and bad puns.
Right, and yes, it's just the absurdity of it all. I can't. It's been hitting me as well. Amber said she was tired. I've been very tired. I've completely inverted my sleep schedule. I'm now at a literally staying up until like 8 or 9 in the morning and then going to sleep.
You're saying inverted your sleep schedule, but I feel like that is your pattern. Like that is
right. Well, you were always a night stalker. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Why won't someone make a documentary about me?
Here comes the night stalker. I guess he's probably going to want those cannoli pancakes again.
I'm dying to know what else is on this IHOP.
Okay, well, mozzarella sticks, which by the way, now, if anyone's been doing the delivery thing to survive, as I'm doing somewhat shamefully, but you have to start learning how to reheat, like effectively reheat a food.
And so there is baking involved.
Well, maybe, you know, I've been doing some light sauteing or frying, I would say. But it, for example, I brought back these mozzarella sticks to life last night.
Wow.
In a pan with a little.
So they call you the Frankenstein, the Dr. Frankenstein of mozzarella sticks.
They're alive.
By the way, the name of the mozzarella stick is not Frankenstein. That's the name of the guy.
The name of the doctor.
You're Frankenstein.
Yes, please get it right.
The mozzarella sticks are just called mozzarella sticks.
They're called Frankenstein's mozzarella sticks.
I put a light sheen of oil, and I'm very careful.
You make it sound disgusting, by the way. Go on.
Well, what's new?
What kind of oil?
That's the podcast.
Great question, Jamie.
Okay. Okay. Again, I don't mean to go to these places, and I think I'm going to gross you guys out even more, a little more right now. And I apologize in advance. Jamie, the oil is olive oil that's been here since I moved in. And
that's not fine.
It's not.
What do you mean?
Counterpoint. Like, counterpoint.
You inherited. It's not fine. The olive
yes.
oil?
Yes, the olive okay. oil.
The apartment's all yours. It you comes with the key oil. For the bathroom down the hall, and this olive oil is all yours as well.
And
there's one tie in the closet. You can keep that.
I've never heard of moving into an apartment with olive oil.
This place I moved into, I was taking over a friend's lease.
Whose?
It was actually
a comedian. I don't know if she ever did the show. J.C. Coakley. You guys remember J.C. Coakley? Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that's whose apartment you moved
in. It was fully furnished. So there were things here and she had left some stuff. And
there's a couch over there. There's a chair by fireplace and there's olive oil.
Well, the problem is this. Like 2-3 years ago, I remember I was like, why don't I check that olive? Why don't I just give that olive oil a whiff? You know, and
you know exactly how olive oil is supposed.
Well, I can pick up, I think, a rancidity, and
you're also not using a whole heck of a lot of olive oil.
I'm a responsible adult, so I Googled, can oil kill, you know, rancid oil kill you, or is it bad for you? And you know,
it's people a long Google.
And people were like,
can you ask another question, please?
Someone please help me.
Maybe.
Because
I am
scared right now.
What are you saying?
And when I moved in here, there was a bottle of olive oil.
J.C. Coakley, have you ever met her?
Jamie, it's olive oil, but it's not in great shape olive oil. I'm using it sparingly, but... And it's not great for you, but it's not gonna hurt. It's not really gonna hurt me either.
I'm dead ass serious. I'm gonna get your address after this, and I'm gonna send you some olive oil. You're gonna get some new olive oil.
I'll throw it on that. I'll
Yeah,
you
I'm gonna send
bucks.
You some too. I just want you to have a lot of olive oil because now that you're making mozzarella sticks, or not making them, but you know, bringing them back to life. Right.
Yeah. Bringing back mozzarella sticks with rancid olive oil is
honey. Lightning hit the building. Lightning hit the building again last night. Yeah, the guy in 8D is bringing mozzarella sticks back to life every night
with some rancid olive oil.
By the way, Amber, I think you might have just come up with the title of my LA memoirs. Bringing back mozzarella sticks with rancid olive oil. And how I made it.
Tales of bachelorhood.
Anyway, I apologize to all the listeners. This is the minutia again, the absurdist minutia that seems to have any kind of value right now.
We asked
in a pandemic quarantine life.
You just wanted to breeze by all this and get to whatever your next thing.
What's your next thing?
For inquisitizing.
Well, again, I just want to give a big shout out to IHOP. The IHOPy menu worked great. It's great.
IHOPy hour. Let's get it right.
IHOPy hour. Sorry.
Yeah, IHOPy menu makes no sense.
But and by the way, oh my goodness.
That was so weird. Oh, no, Aaron's doing that. Never mind.
Here we go. Okay, so Aaron, our producer, has brought up, for the listeners, he's brought up the page. We're sharing the screen. We're all seeing it, of the Italian cannoli pancakes available at your any participating IHOP.
I got to say, it is wild that you saw that picture and you said, yes, please. That's
right. Oh, by the way, here's a little detail. I'm seeing that there's a whipped cream, dollop. There's a dollop. Thank you.
Topping. They call it a whipped topping. It's not necessarily
a whipped
cream.
Topping.
It's not whipped cream. They clearly say whipped topping.
Oh, whipped topping. I'm sorry. Yes. Let's be accurate. I did not get a whipped topping on mine. I didn't actually ask for that.
It was lightly flogged.
It just was not there. And I would say that actually, I was happy about. I'm happy about that.
That's
now
too much.
I'm not into the whipped topping. I just like it to be classic Italian cannoli pancakes, and they don't
You're
have
a
to
purist,
right? They don't have to Denny's it up with a dollop of whipped topping. So
my sons look at me and they say, "What have you ever done for us?"
I introduced you
to Italian cannoli pancakes.
What if I married?
That wasn't a thing before. I said, what if we took the pancakes, we put cannoli inside? It's too crunchy, so we took the crunch out, just the cream.
It's crazy because a team of people worked on this photograph to look as edible somebody, as it could possibly look.
Amber, I always think that. I always think that too. That literally someone paid their mortgage payment developing this over 3 months.
They put one chocolate chip here and one chocolate chip there.
At whatever giant conglomerate food lab they have.
Dave, what the fuck is this? It's whipped cream. No, I said it was whipped topping. Why are you? Yeah, it's a photograph. People aren't going to know this is actual whipped cream, and the whipped topping doesn't hold up. It doesn't have the same. Dave, it's whipped topping. If we put cream in the photo, people will be upset.
Oh, no.
By the way, I've always been fascinated by food photography for advertising, because that might not even be cream. That might be like shaving cream or something, because it photographs better. But yeah. I will say this again, just in terms of what a national chain puts on their website, and then what you get. The ones that I got were not that full of cream.
What is the cream inside a cannoli?
It's ricotta.
It's a ricotta based
sweet
cream
ricotta,
with like ricotta sugar cream and chocolate chips.
And I'm sure that whatever they make, they lose in not having real whipped cream. I'm sure the ricotta based cream inside the pancake is authentico.
It's probably mostly whipped cream.
But it had the taste. You know what? It had the cannoli taste of that cream. You know how I don't, what is that taste? I don't know what that is.
Sweet ricotta,
like a creamy sweet.
It's like a cream. Yeah, it's creamy. I'll look that up.
Do they have regular pancakes on the IHOP?
Aaron, can we explore a little bit? There we go.
Of course they do. Amber's like, get this away from my eyes.
I don't love it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Give me a real American pancake.
That's always.
Here's disgusting. The next thing we're going to add. We're going to take the pancakes. We're going to mash them into a ball. And we're going to put the Mexican stuff in there. We're going to put the Mexican dip in there. And then, so we're going to have roly-poly.
Where's Dave? Why isn't Dave working? Who's this guy?
I'm the food developer. I'm not the food stylist. Oh, well, I'm making a new kind of food. What's that?
We prefer working with Dave.
Dave is a food stylist. I'm coming up with a new food. It's called roly-poly guacamole cannoli pan.
That absolutely could be a title.
With guacamole and cannoli inside. So it's a roly-poly guacamole cannoli.
I would order that so fast.
I know. Keep scrolling. I want to.
Amber knows me. She knows.
So I may have talked about this on the podcast at one point, but there was.
Take it down. I can't look at that anymore.
Please. Yeah, please.
By the way, real quick, I think I'm going to order that next. That ham and cheese omelet. Yeah. But
hash browns.
Just so everyone knows, the whole IHOPy hour thing is
for example,
the mozzarella sticks. There are $3. These dishes here are $3. The highest thing is either $5 or $6, depending on your participating location.
What if we put vodka in it? What if we put vodka in it? So it was a Stoli roly poly guacamole cannoli bank.
Stoli.
Chicken and waffles is just kind of, it's funny that they just do chicken and pancakes.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. So there was a New Year's Eve that I went too hard. And I may have talked about this on the podcast, but I'm going to talk about it again because it's such a big part of my life, where I was so tragically hungover the next day. And we were watching the Rose Bowl parade, and it cut to commercial, and there was a Carl's Jr. commercial, and they just showed a photograph of a chicken sandwich, and I ran to the bathroom and threw up. And so it's become shorthand with Jeff and I, where he's like, "Are you chicken sandwich?" Because he thought I was being funny at first, where I was like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "Okay, it's not that dramatic." And then I was literally puking. Anyway,
those photographs, it can get to you.
The sauce, like, slowly dribbling out.
They do it on purpose. It's supposed to look appetizing, and it looks so disgusting.
I remember when Carl's Jr. did that whole run of commercials in the 90s where every burger landed.
So you saw
so every layer fucking the next one. It was disgusting.
That was in the 80s.
Even I was disgusted. I think it was 80s and 90s.
I had a friend in the 80s.
All right, what else?
Welcome Joe? To I Love what the else?
80s. So you shout out to IHOP.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm a bully with you and your food choices, and I apologize. It is what it is. I can't.
The thing about bullying is that sometimes people deserve to be bullied.
Amber,
I have to be honest with my reactions.
Amber,
I can't lie to you.
I don't think of it like that at all from you. Okay. Like, it's fascinating that you bring that up, though, because I have seen shit online that's called concern trolling. I never get that from you. I never feel like, you know, you're saying it, you know, to have some control over a person.
Wait,
you
what's
know?
Concern trolling?
It's it's basically when you bring up something that isn't really, it's not like you're judging the person, but it sounds like you're judging the person by trying to help them. You know,
they're not asking for help.
Without necessarily. Yeah, right. Like, without necessarily asking for help, as Jamie's saying. So that's where, like, the bullying thing kind of comes through, where it's like, oh my God, you have terrible habits. You need to do this, right? Rather than just like, you know, it becomes more of a coming at the person, and I never feel that for me.
Eat your cannoli pancakes. If it brings you joy, it's just not for me.
No, and I understand that on a level of taste, but I also too I could be eating baked veggies. So there is a dip. I fully acknowledge that right now.
Vegetable.
Because, yeah, I don't have a crew. I don't have a crew on the other side of my. This is a person making a cannoli pancake.
All right. So Amber gets done concern trolling Joe. Anything else, Joe?
Amber, I appreciate your reactions. I appreciate your reaction.
I can't lie to you. I can't lie to you.
I would not want anyone to. I would not want anyone.
I will say, honestly, I also find that you ate that disgusting. So.
Sure. No, and I totally
and I'm not concern trolling. I'm just trolling, but...
Yeah, what I'm saying is I got through the whole chunks thing already. It was at the end of the year. The chunks.
That was tough stuff.
Yeah, I got through the chunks.
I erased that from my memory.
No, I know, but I didn't because
I thought I dreamed that.
It was that one was traumatizing.
That was tough
because I truly did not mean to. Churn everyone's stomachs with that, and there are some Lo Chapeau listeners, I believe, in Australia who were validating that they have seen that as a term for meat.
It's a term.
The other side of the world, yes.
Like that's what you feed your dogs. It's
at
a
this
term.
Point, I would move to Australia. I could move to Australia.
Do it.
Chunky soup, the whole chunky Campbell's. We all know Campbell's has an imprint called
right,
Chunky.
Chunky. Yeah.
It's about the big chunks of meat.
Right. Thank you, Jamie.
Don't get in the middle of this, Jamie. It's dangerous. Right,
backing up.
What else, Joe?
What else? I'll just wrap it. I'll wrap up my bit here by saying just my weekly check-in of the writing process.
It's
just to say that it's going well. It's interesting because it's not the same frustration that I had the week before. It's a better feeling frustration, which is that we're grooving so well collaboratively right now that we came up with a lot of new stuff this week. And this was the week where I wanted to really start writing, but in coming up with all this new stuff, that just everything just felt like it just made the show better, richer, fuller. That now, you know, we kind of put off the like, all right, we can start writing next week. And I
feel like there's no better feeling than when you're with a cat and you're grooving so well collaboratively, you know?
It's, I mean, and the hipness is happening.
Pictured Paula Abdul and DJ Scat Cat.
With MC Scat Cat. I'm currently writing, maybe one, two more months into this pandemic, I lose my mind. And on the podcast, I'm like, I'm writing a screenplay with MC Scat Cat.
I would not be shocked at this point.
As I'm eating a cannoli pancake on the podcast. Squishing out the cream into my mouth.
You tried the Stoli roly poly.
It's a little chicken sandwich.
By the way, and this, how incredible a coincidence is this? I saw a picture this week for a pizza cupcake, and it looked delicious.
What do you mean?
Play the lottery, man. That is fucking crazy.
It was like a savory cupcake, but the it was in the middle filling was tomato sauce and cheese.
It's
oh sir.
Can they make it with beef chunks?
Oh, did you guys see the viral video of a woman making that SpaghettiOs pie?
Yes, I did. That's what it sounds like.
Oh. That's where I draw the line.
Viral video to me.
I'm so sorry, Amber. I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop talking now.
Please keep talking forever.
I'm done.
Jesus, Amber. Ease up.
Amber is pissed.
That was she's brutal.
She's pissed at me because I have now put the image.
No, please keep talking forever. That was the meanest thing Amber's ever said in her life.
You know what? It's okay. I totally understand, though. I totally understand.
I want you to keep talking.
No, Amber, I'm looking at the clock. I think I've done my 20 minutes.
No, Joe, please keep talking forever.
I'm done.
I. should.
I'm not going to say anything else.
Podcasting.
That's it for me. There it is.
It's not a cupcake, by the way. It's like
that's like a pizza bite.
It's a little pizza bite.
All right. They call it.
I was picturing like a deep. Like,
there's nothing cupcakey about it other than the size.
Cavern.
All right.
That.
Jeez. I'm sorry.
It looks good. I would like to eat some right now.
Right, Carrie, for some reason.
What the fuck?
All right, listeners, we're looking at a picture of Mariah Carey making pizza cupcakes.
That picture in the middle is a little extreme.
Look at the one with the box.
Okay. All right.
It's a little chicken sandwich.
I'm tired. I'm tired of me. Please.
No. Keep talking forever.
I need a lawyer. I need Jamie's lawyer.
Have him. He's looking for a work.
All right. I feel like we're at a point where we need to wrap the show up. We need to come to a full stop. We need to stick the landing. So let's do a segment that we like to call Parting Shots, and let's start today with Jamie. Jamie, Parting Shots. You said you had something before. I hope you remember what it was or that you've come up with something else.
I'll try to explain an epiphany that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And all my ups and downs, all my all or nothings. I'm doing yoga for 6 weeks straight, and I'm feeling great, and then I'm not doing it for a year and feeling like shit. Up and down and up and down. It's exhausting.
Just do it a couple times a week.
Yes. Like, I mean, all that stuff. But what I've noticed, actually, I think I've shared this epiphany 6 years ago, but it's hit me again. That
Hall of Mirrors.
I equate the good feeling. I equate the feeling of health and all that with the actual because when I go all or nothing, it's like I'm exercising, I'm cutting out sugar, whatever it is. And that all stuff helps me feel healthy and feel good. But as soon as I make the decision and make the choice to be more present in my life, which is actually all that is, I immediately start to feel that openness and that health. So that's always available. Like being able to equate it with that more so than the actual things I do when I am more present makes it feel like less like if I haven't done yoga for a week and then that instead of that coming turning into 6 months without doing it ever again because I didn't do it, I can be like, no, I can just make the choice to be present again, whatever that means.
And the being present might open you up to more positive choices
because
it's not like about being
those things all help. I do those things because I'm present in my life and want to make choices that will help me feel better. But like 2 weeks ago, I was finally like, okay, I let myself go again all through the holidays and I kept pushing it. And I was like, all right, one more week. But the morning I woke up, like, to get started in this new lifestyle, I was already feeling good. And I hadn't done a thing yet. So that's what I'm trying to tap into, is just making the choice to be present makes me feel that alone.
Right.
So.
You said this 6 years ago.
I'm sure I did. And probably 3 years ago. And I probably said it a year ago.
That's the thing. But I think, Jamie, I think what you're talking about is that comforting feeling of knowing that there's no better time to start than now. And if you make that choice, then, you know, you can get back on the horse a million times. I mean, it is kind of maybe sad and funny to watch if somebody had to keep getting back on a horse literally a million times, but that's what you can, you know, you can do that.
And it's not even like, it's saying like, it's not off the horse. Like I'm doing the 30-day yoga with Adrian thing. And I'm on day.
Me too.
22. I'm on day 9.
Oh,
you guys are doing this. You guys are doing the same yoga thing.
Yeah,
she's very famous.
Yeah, she's more famous than ever. But I started like a week and a half late. Like I didn't start like on January 1st. And then there's been like 2 or 3 days where I'm like, all right, I'm on day 9, and I started 13 days ago. And so I'm trying not to equate it with falling off the horse. It's just like.
Right. I take today off, and then tomorrow I start again.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
moderation.
Yeah. Moderation.
Great. Done. So you're on day 9, but you started 14 days ago. I don't think it works that way.
It's working. I did it right before I showered, and then started this podcast.
Which one was it?
Yeah, which one was it?
I did yoga.
And yeah, which shower. One was it?
Oh, number 9.
No, which yoga was it? Was it the what bird was one? The
name
the
of
crow
it?
Crow pose.
Oh, it was balance.
Warrior 6.
Oh.
Warrior 6.
All right. Well, you just haven't gotten there yet. Wait till day 30, baby. All right. I'll go next. Here's my parting shot. I have been in a running argument for months now about whether with a one particular friend. I won't say who it is because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I will say this person is a friend of the podcast, but we have been arguing about whether poetry is a valid art form or whether it's just writing that you do in a weird way, like you structure it weirdly so it's not it's just prose, but when you read it out loud, you say it strange and you put it on the page wrong, so it looks weird. And obviously my side of the argument is poetry is a valid art form, and this person is saying poetry is bullshit. And I say this because the day of the inauguration, as Amanda Gorman was reciting the poem that she wrote, I was like, see, this is fucking amazing. This is, and I picked up my phone to text my friend, and he had just texted me to say, I would have preferred it if she just told a story.
No. And, you guys are true to your worldview.
But I guess what I'm saying is no. He admitted later that I was right in this particular case, even though it wasn't, you know. But
it would have been so weird if she got up there and was like just checked in about her life.
It's
I agree.
I ate cannoli pancakes.
Shout out to
IHOP and IHOPy Hour.
I think for a lot of people, poetry is like listening to another kind of music, and their ear, it's just, you know, it's the same thing. You know,
it's tough. It's like any art form. There is good poetry and there is bad poetry, and if you only bump up against bad poetry, it's easy to form the opinion that poetry is bad. But if you only saw bad improv, if you only saw bad acting, do you know what I'm saying?
I do, and I agree with you. And I also think that poetry is a thing that people put too much stock into. In other words, they go, oh, this is supposed to have some crazy higher meaning, and I'm not getting it. I don't get it. You know, like, no, I'm not getting what I'm supposed to get from this. And it's like, no, you get what you get from it. And maybe there is more and maybe there isn't more, but it's still just presented.
Yeah. It's
just like inhale and exhale. That's all I'm saying.
It's like when people stand in front of modern art, you know, or what, you know, something that they just, it's not.
No, modern art is bullshit.
What they see in their, what they see in their heads or they hear in their heads. And her poem was beautiful and it was truly moving. And I actually saw someone.
But you wanted to see a phone number across the bottom saying, call now, operators are standing by.
And then like a plate spinning act after her. I did see someone comment online about how for them, it reminded them of how much, speaking of fundraising, of actually how much we need to also be conscious of the arts right now. Again, even though it doesn't seem like a life and death thing right now, in this from the perspective of what we're living through, but it is a part of our society. It is a part of how we navigate these things, an artistic moment of everyone listening to her words. But to give an example of the other side, and I'm not saying this is bad poetry because I don't want to condemn it or judge it. But Amber, when you said there's bad poetry, what popped in my head was all the ads they do now that are those anti-tobacco smoking ads that are like spoken word, like they put it in our streets. with the camel man who, and it's like, and it's been written so clearly to, like, you know, be like, don't, you know, don't smoke. And I just, that's the kind of poetry where I'm like, to my ear, I'm like, oh, it sounds like someone's doing a parody of something,
right?
You know?
So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is I would like to hear from our listeners on our Facebook page about whether they think poetry is valid or if they think it's bullshit and people should stop pretending that it's not just writing things. Because you could just write poetry in paragraphs and then it wouldn't be a poem anymore. It would just be prose. So would that be a way to do it? Or is that, you know, is it bullshit or not, is basically what I'm saying. And you know, if the listeners vote for it being bullshit, I will come out
voting
and say,
now.
I will come out and say that poetry is bullshit. I'm going to, you know.
Wow. There's a lot on the line. I don't even have Facebook, so I, like, fingers crossed this goes well.
I will come out in my full kit and say it's bullshit.
Wow.
And then stick out my finger and ask someone to pull it.
How does your friend feel about haikus?
They can't like them.
I don't know, because we haven't gotten into specifics. It's not like, right. I'm not like, but what about iambic pentameter? How is that not poetry? All right, parting shots. Joe.
Yes, my parting shot is, you reminded me of something that I did see this week that it wasn't the actual inauguration and swearing in, but it did have an emotional effect on me, and I was so happy that it was done, because it is something that this country truly needed, which was the ceremony the day before, commemorating, you know, the dead, that the people that we've lost during this pandemic. And, you know, to talk to my mother that night, I think a conversation that many people had, which was that it was so staggering to think that no commemoration ceremony had been done in 10 months. And to see that finally happen for me was that moment where I let any exhaustion or cynicism just go away. And it was beautiful. And there was a singer there as well, a nurse who had gone viral because she had made videos of her singing in the wards that she was working on just to keep people's spirits up. And it was beautiful. And it was the moment, Sean, that you said from the beginning of the show, where it made me feel like, you know, that there is some change that's happening. And if it's just even the acknowledgement of the trauma and the pain that people have been going through and are going to go through for the rest of their lives. So I, not to end it on a bummer like that, but when I was,
but we still have to get through Amber, so don't worry.
Oh, sorry. But I did want to actually end with a positive.
Just keep talking forever.
A boba. I know. I know you didn't. And I actually was going to start off by saying that I was going to keep it short. but a quick boba. Jamie, if I may. I just found this kind of online, and it just really stuck with me this week. And it was about how, when you are truly feeling so trapped within yourself, if it's that hopeless feeling or depression, just a reminder that one of the best ways to get out of that is to do something for someone else, no matter what that is, whether it's from volunteering and passing out oximeters to homeless people, to just being there for a family member or a friend, and to just, you know, try to put yourself in a situation, if you can, where you actually are thinking of someone else and you can actually do something about it. And in the last couple of weeks, that was me helping my mom put together a PowerPoint and adding audio to it. And it turned into a 7-hour ordeal, and we were just so struggling together. But by the end of it, she was like, it was literally 2 a.m. in Phoenix, and we were just trying to get it to be turned into an MP4 so she could send it to me. And she was like, we finally did it, but she was like, I have to take a pill because I'm starting to see double. And I was like, mom, we're done. But
What was she making a PowerPoint about?
She's going to be in a virtual.
Don't get him going. Amber.
A virtual medical conference that's coming up.
Oh wow, that's cool.
The next day, I remember thinking those seven, because it literally was 7 hours on and off. Like I would research stuff online, call her back, try to talk her through it. Anyway, the next day, that 7 hours was like, oh my God, that was so hard. But a week later, I was like, I'm just happy that those 7 hours were 7 hours where I wasn't thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about, I wasn't trying to psych myself out about how bad things may be right now. I was just in a position to do something for somebody else. And that's a great way to get out of that. So I just wanted to share that with the listeners.
How long ago was this? How many days ago do you think it was?
It had to go in Friday night.
Yeah.
So we did it the night before the last recording, because we record on Saturdays, listeners. So it was the day before the recording, and I didn't talk about it because it was so still
too fresh. Right. It was still
in it, especially by the end. Cause I was like, maybe I should have told my mom, like, go to bed and then we'll finish it in the morning. Because I forget that she's 82. She just turned 82. And she was like, I can't really see straight right now. And I was like, oh my God, she's an elderly woman. She needs.
So it was 8 days ago.
Yes. Yeah.
I was hoping it would have been 16 days ago. Cause then it's been 7 hours and 16 days since we started this. It would have been like a Prince song that she would have recorded, you know? All right, Amber.
Shout out to Prince.
And Sinead.
Shout out to Prince. I have two quick things. The first thing is today is my parents' 39th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations, guys.
Which is no small feat. And they are
big feet. Both
they're,
of them.
They're adorable. They're so cute. Like when I talk to them. They're in lockdown in Mexico and have been. So they see very few people and they go grocery shopping every 2 weeks and it's just the two of them. And a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about their anniversary that was approaching, they both were like, I can't believe we've been married 39 years. Like we feel like newlyweds. And it's just like, you guys, it's too cute. It's so it's... It's hashtag goals. they still like love being around each other. They still make each other laugh and they still have a lot of fun with each other. And it's nice that that's possible, you know?
Amber, 80-year-old Jeff, are you chicken sandwich?
That will definitely happen. I mean, knock on wood, if everything goes.
If you're still getting hungover at 80, I think you're doing it right.
Oh, I will.
Shaka, bro. Shaka.
Shaka. The other thing was, so Sean, you asked about this a few times, or at least one time, but in my head it turned into a few times. One of the reasons we moved into this apartment was now we can get a pet. And so you did ask, like, when is
that happening? Did you get a dog yet? Yeah.
And we haven't, but I've started... Dipping my toe in. And it's...
into a pool of dogs.
Yeah, it's strange.
What are you doing? Get out of here. That's gross. All chicken sandwich now.
I've never online dated, which makes me sound like a grandma at this point. I've never... Like, that's just something I've never, ever done.
But you're thinking about it now.
No, picking a dog in a pandemic, I feel like is the closest thing to online dating.
Right,
because it's like, what am I, like, he's got kind eyes. Like, what am I looking for?
Where do you look? Like, where?
I have friends who are deep in the shelter communities. Tess Barker, she's amazing. She's a big animal advocate. So I asked her what to do and she sent a long spiel, but it was like, because I was like, are there shelters that are good? Are there shelters that are bad? Like, I don't know. You know, there might be unethical ones, and it's very hard to tell. And she said that basically all shelters are good, but it depends on what you want. You also might want to go to a rescue, and rescues will be more expensive, but then the dog you, and they'll, it'll be a longer process. They'll interview you and make sure you're a good fit. But then the dog comes and it's already got all its shots and medical and blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
You're looking for a dog, ma'am. You've come at the right time. It is iPuppy hour.
Point is, it's,
by the way, only ethical dogs here. We swear that's a dog. That's a turtle in a dog costume. No, it's a beagle.
Well, I've always said that when we get a dog, like, we're not the type of people who are like, we want a Shih Tzu who's brown. You know, like, I don't have a dream dog.
I have a brown Shih Tzu.
that's apparent from the two options that you threw out.
Dream bigger.
Dream big, baby. We're going for brown Shih Tzu.
What I mean is, like, I will love the dog that is mine. I know this sounds like really woo-woo, but I always felt like the dog that is meant for me will come to me.
If you
like,
build it, will, it, then come.
It will appear. But at the same time, I have to take some steps. And it's weird because, like, I'm just scrolling at pictures of dogs, and it's strange. All I'm saying is it's a strange.
But
process.
you're in process.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep bugging you about this.
Just the toe in. Like we haven't done much, but there was one dog. It's also funny because dogs online all already have names, and a lot of them are stupid, you know, like I don't want a dog named that. And everyone who adopts a
this
dog
is Sir Quintleberry.
Well, there was a dog that was like, this dog's pretty cute, and I showed it to Jeff, but its name was Spice Girls, plural.
That's really funny.
But, which I loved. I fell in love with. But then when I clicked on
it. If you want to be my owner.
When I clicked on
you gotta
it
get
actually,
me spayed.
It was the profile of
that's a good
two,
commercial.
Of two sister dogs. One was Posh Spice and one was Sporty Spice. But so like that's why it was listed as Spice Girls. But I like the idea of just one singular dog being
that's
a
really funny.
Plural band. But
Amber, yeah. I've never dated a dog, but I heard that a lot of them, they always say they're taller than they are, which is like so annoying.
Will you send me that information? I think I've been dabbling
I'll
with the idea.
I'll copy and paste it to you because I don't want to get anything wrong.
Thanks.
Well, this is exciting.
But yeah, it just feels very online dating-y is all I'm saying.
All right, folks. Well, that sounds like it kind of is the end of the show. This has been The Long Shot. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow Jamie on TikTok at Jamie Flam. Follow Joe on Instagram at Joe Wagner.
Where I've never posted anything.
Amber. Don't have an Instagram, do you?
No, I actually got one, but it doesn't.
Oh, I only said that because I thought you didn't have one.
No, the funny thing was I did get one, and it doesn't even have a picture of me. I've never posted anything, but I got it for something else.
So creepy.
Yeah. So I could watch Instagram live.
So creepy. All right. She is coming after you today.
I'm the worst. I am the worst.
She's out for blood.
You creepy, unhealthy fuck. Amber,
please
I love
keep talking
you.
Forever.
Amber, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you too, Joe.
Folks, we'll see you next time on The Long Shot. It's a podcast.
Sean, bye. Do it too. Sean, do it too. Do it too, Sean.
Sean, do it too. Do it too. Oh, it's upside down.
It's upside down. And then we go upside down.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.